Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
Boom, there it is.
Cool. Welcome to Discourse, brought to you by Radio Tarana, your Indian radio, 1386 AM, and on my mic through the wonders of amplitude modulation and interference. Radio Tarana. Is anyone there?
No.
Okay, cool.
I don't know what happened to Morgan.
Is he actually gone?
No, I discovered I discovered that I was recording in mono mix, which like absolutely to give me the minimum possible wiggle room in case something terrible happens like last week. Oh, right. Jesus. Oh man, I mean last time. Which was, did either of you actually listen to 603?
I did about half of it. It's great.
It had a real kind of a very pleasant sort of an energy, didn't it?
I loved the conversation at the beginning, which was a three-way conversation that you edited down to two, and it was special.
I feel almost like I should bother downloading it, but I don't think I will.
It was amazing to hear it because, all of Morgan's bits were missing, but it still was somehow vaguely coherent. It was great.
Oh, that required a great great. we started, I guess. Listeners, that was entirely my fault. There was a problem with my computer. I didn't really know what was happening. There were multiple recordings were made, and all of the ones that I made were all broken. There were missing bits of audio, whole, 30 minutes of conversation, as Ben was just talking about, where we were all talking about whatever. My voice was entirely missing from the files because my computer was all fucked. And
even your local recording was robot voice.
Yeah.
Amazing.
It was just really badly corrupted. Mm. And
good times.
It's all a lot of excuses, really, isn't it?
Do you know who else was really, really badly corrupted?
Who's that?
I don't know. It sounded like a good segue, but I don't know how to segue with that.
I think
you've got to be careful if you talk about someone being corrupt, don't you?
Let's just take it as it comes. We'll, there's New Zealand political news, but before we do that, we could talk about what happened in the States. So in the 2 weeks since we did the podcast last,
happened?
There's been some changes in Trump's office.
Scaramucci,
new press secretary.
So I think last time we spoke, the mooch wasn't even in the picture yet, right?
No, never heard of
him. And so between 603 and 604, he arrived on the scene, he blew the place up, threw around firebombs, arranged for the firing of what's his name? Spicer resigned. Quote resigned.
Rance Priebus.
Rance Priebus, who was the White House, the president's chief of staff, which is a super high, really important position. Was he fired or did he also resign?
He resigned, but he was
pushed. It's one of those things where the mooch was saying, I'm going to fire this guy. And so then when he resigned, it was like, okay, come on. And then...
But no, he didn't resign. No, sorry. He didn't resign.
He didn't?
No, he was replaced with a tweet.
Right. That's right. Yep.
There was a tweet from Trump that said, General, whatever the fuck his name is, it's not even really worth learning, is my new chief of staff. And that was it. That was the first anyone heard that Priebus was out. And according to some people's timing, that happened a minute after Priebus left the Air Force One. They'd landed.
Yeah.
Air Force One landed. Priebus exited Air Force One. The tweet went out. Priebus got into his car and drove away before Trump would exit the plane.
Right.
Amazing.
It's entirely believable that Rance Priebus found out on Twitter.
But there's one thing about all of this that is, all of this is confirmed, Scaramucci coming in and then leaving, is that Steve Bannon has the P tapes.
What the fuck? It doesn't confirm anything. It just confirms that place is a fucking shit show.
Because if you basically what it proves is that if you offend Steve Bannon, then you're out, and the only explanation for that is he's got something on Trump.
There's an amazing article in Vanity Fair from the guy who wrote The Big Short. It's this big long form article by Michael Lewis about the transition in the Department of Energy when Trump took over, and just how basically non-existent and incompetent it has been.
Yep.
And yeah. I'm absolutely certain that that can be extrapolated to every part of the US government.
Yeah.
That those fucking idiots don't know what they're doing.
But it's not every part of the government, right? It's just the people that Trump has put into place.
Or hasn't put into place in this case.
Well, sure, because there are like how many thousands even of roles has he not even
huge
put up
number of presidential appointments, and Trump's made virtually none of them.
He probably thinks that he gets the money that he saves.
I don't know what the fuck he thinks. It's just insane.
What do you mean? He thinks he gets the money? Oh, right.
Yeah, like by not
hiring people.
Yeah. Because, you know, staff are expensive. I mean, if you can cut a couple of staff, you know, you can save a company a lot of money. And governments are, to some people's minds, no different from companies. So, you know, if you get rid of 7,000 really important prosecutors, let's say, or several, there were hundreds of prosecutors that he got rid of, right? Like so there was one in New York who was actually specifically going after him, whose name I can't remember.
Oh, can't help.
And he got rid of
He wasn't necessarily going after him, but they'd had run-ins.
Right.
So of 575 key positions requiring Senate confirmation, 165 have been nominated, 50 have been confirmed, 3 are awaiting nomination, and 357 don't even have a nomination. And that's the key ones. There are more than 1,200 positions that require Senate confirmation.
The thing that got me today was there was a tweet basically saying, was it this kind of clown shoes during Watergate? And the massive string of replies saying, no, not at all. You know, like, Nixon was a competent crook. You know, he knew what he was doing.
I think everyone who's run the government, the US government up till this point, in fact, probably most people who run most governments are at least competent at the running of the government part.
Yeah. But
Trump's not even competent at that.
Or they had people around them who were competent. Like, Reagan wasn't competent.
He's not a competent crook or competent at running the government.
Yeah.
Like, one would be okay, but he's not either. And then there's the thing that came out today that ridiculous denial that Trump Jr. issued when the meeting with the Russian lawyer thing first came out.
Yeah,
what the hell's up with that?
I met a lawyer. We talked about adoption. I didn't know what it was going to be about. Stuff like that. That was apparently dictated by the president.
That's totally nuts.
Determined that was the response to make. Which then dumps him right in the middle of that. Fuck, it's just insane. Anyway, so the US government's fun. What happened to New Zealand politics?
Sorry, I was just enjoying the moment of quiet with Radio Tirana playing in the far distant deep background.
Ben has magical headphones.
You should be able to
microphone or something.
One should be able to, and I'll try it with the Audacity file. Trim the first X decibels out, can't you?
That's not how this works at all.
Is this something that you expect me to do? Like, after I did such a bang-up job of producing the previous episode.
Well, maybe it's clean on my end. I don't know. We'll have a listen to my Audacity file. It looks all right.
Guess we'll wait and see. Yeah. In the meantime. So if you can hear...
Like, if we can hear it, that can't be possible, surely. Like,
if you can hear some distant music...
Yeah. It's interference on the fiber optic cable, then surely.
Then it's Ben listening to Hindi radio and refusing to turn it off.
It's funny, I can hear it when I monitor my mic, but I can't hear it otherwise. It's quite hilarious. I need a ferrite bead.
So Trump says there's no chaos in the White House.
Oh, that was that tweet this morning. It's like, yeah, everything's cool. It's great.
That tweet that was like an hour after it was announced that Scaramucci was leaving.
Yeah, it's like just one sentence. Everything's cool.
Stephen Colbert is going to be gutted about the Mooch leaving because he had nailed that character.
But what
front stab?
Like, SNL didn't even have a chance to come back on air.
It's just not fair.
so funny. And, you know, like, we'll talk about New Zealand politics and you know, and whether the Labour Party is a bit out of control.
Yeah.
But no matter what they do, nothing compares to what goes on in Trump's White House.
No.
Like, no matter how insane New Zealand politics gets, it's never going to get to there.
You reckon?
I don't think you find any politician in New Zealand, like, remotely credible, even down to David Seymour.
David Seymour's trying. He's really, really trying. What was this one?
He's really, really trying, and he's a lot more... Like, I would take David Seymour as Prime Minister over Trump. Like, I think he is far more competent. He could do a better job of being US President than Trump, I'm sure.
I was trying to find his tweet. What did he say? He said, fortunately, we can keep these characters out of power without settling for the dull complacency of National. So, he's just labelled his, like, what? Not even his part, his parliamentary partners, his parliamentary lifeline.
His sugar daddy.
As dull complacency. It's so good.
I mean, he's not wrong. They are dull complacency.
Yeah.
The grey status quo.
It was absolute gold, Twitter gold today, all over the place, though, like, from so many angles. One, rereading tweets is terrible, but he did tweet that to resign as party leader less than 2 months before an election requires enormous courage, which, of course, attracted lots of people to say to him, you can do it, David. Well, you can do it. We believe in you.
When did he get hoisted into the leadership of the ACT Party? It wasn't long before the election, was it? Before an election.
I think it was just after the first time that he was elected. What was the guy, the bald-headed philosopher's name?
Richard Preble.
No. Jamie White?
Yeah. Something White? Was it Jamie White?
He lasted like 2 months.
Yeah, well, I guess he hoped that they'd get high enough percentage that Seymour would drag him in. But that didn't happen. And so then he quite rightly resigned. So David Seymour must have been ACT Party leader since shortly. He's been in two terms now, hasn't he, Seymour?
I don't know. Two? Maybe.
So I guess he's probably been leader since about 2011, 2012, something like that.
Okay, so Seymour took over the party leadership on the 3rd of October, 2014. So just after the 2014 election.
Ah, 2014. Wow. It's that recent. Wow. Yeah. Right, my maths were no good.
But yeah.
Yeah, because he was the only one who got in, so he was given the leadership. That's right. I remember that now. Fun times. And I just love his proclamations about how, you know, everyone knows what you know, he knows what everyone wants. And yeah, we've talked about this already, haven't we? His sort of proclamations from this high, high peak of 0.069 of the vote.
They started at 8 in their first election when they were first in government, first in parliament. They had 8 MPs in 96, and then 9 in 99, and 9 in 2002, then down to 2 in 2005. They jumped back up to 5 in 2008, and they've managed just 1 MP in the last two elections. So I think, you know, maybe they could almost just toddle off.
Yeah, I think they might fade away. We'll turn this to death. If Epsom does their thing, then he's gone. But yeah,
Epsom's not going to do that thing that you're talking about.
Such.
So what was it? The latest Reed Research poll has ACT down 0.4 on 0.5 and United Future on 0.2, which is so far below the margin of error of 3.1%.
Yeah.
So far below. But top, according to this one, but still, beware of that margin of error, on 2.
That's pretty interesting. Yeah. He should stand at Epsom.
But see, the only reason United First and ACT are even worth talking about is because they have
United Future
electorate seats.
United Future.
Sorry, yeah. United Future. What did I say? United First.
Yeah,
pretty funny.
Freudian slip.
It's UFNZ, but yeah, fair enough. United First. Yeah, it's just because they have electorate seats. So, you know, if Top managed to find themselves a comfortable electorate seat, they'd be home and hosed, but I don't think they will.
Just do deals. Like, so the Māori Party today, we haven't kind of got to the big news, right? Which is...
Big news?
Andrew Little saw the writing on the wall with this latest poll result that saw Labour, like, National down, but Labour way down, kind of in the mid-20s. the low mid-20s.
Yeah.
And Andrew Little finally put it together that he is not sparking with the electorate.
But just
I feel like that writing's been on the wall for a long time and he's just been ignoring it.
Yeah.
Like, he shot him, like, it was kind of what, suicide by police, basically, right? Because he, you know, they got a shocking poll result, and then instead of saying, yeah, no, we're all good, we'll push on, he then, you know, went to the press and said, you know, obviously I need to front up and there might be speculation about my leadership.
And I have, like, and I have thought about resigning.
Yeah. Suicide by media is what that was. Yeah.
Exactly. And like, what did he think was going to happen?
Suicide by candor.
But then he also put his party into a ridiculous position, because then what was it? Was it Stuart Nash? I think it was Stuart Nash said yesterday, oh, well, if, you know, if the leader changes at this point, the party will just implode. It's like, well, what the fuck did you think was going
to
happen?
Yeah, and until the leaders resign, anyone asks has to say, oh, no, absolutely not. It's all fine.
You have to.
Well, you just say,
have
I support.
You support the leader. Yeah, you have to.
Yeah, I support the leader. But you don't say, if the leader changes, we're screwed. That wasn't a necessary statement.
Well, the replacement to Andrew Little that Nash had in mind may have been heading them even further down on their hiding to nothing. But
was
as
lining up?
I don't know. Maybe he's thinking himself.
Yeah, that'd do it.
There's a lot of ambitious people in politics, right? People who think that you know, they bide their time and then it'll be their turn, you know, just like Labour seemed to think that it was, you know, they were, if they just kept waiting, it'd be their turn as government again. And so they never had to really campaign hard. Like, the Greens are campaigning like crazy. Opportunities Party are campaigning, of course.
Well, no, they were
New Zealand First are going for it.
Well, I think the Labour were campaigning, or they are campaigning hard. It's just they're not just cutting through. And I think it's
because of their boring leader.
Exactly, the procession of blank white dudes.
Yeah, so I never really met him, but I shook his hand once. He was on the phone, and I was walking past, and I changed my vector to go straight towards him, and he made it clear through some combination of pointing and facial expressions that he was like talking on the radio or something. And so I threw out. He was holding his phone up to his ear with his right hand. So I was like, well, I could throw out a right hand. I'm just going to shake his hand. Right? I was off to the gym or somewhere. So I threw out the most difficult handshake, a left-handed handshake.
What?
And he absolutely nailed it. He didn't skip a stride. He gave me a real twinkly-eyed smile. He had an excellent handshake. And then I was on my way. So I've got to tell you, I actually felt pretty good about him.
He seemed like a nice enough dude, and and very, you know, very legitimate.
Yeah. And successful in every other organization he's ever been in. And
absolutely.
He floated up very quickly to lead the Labour Party. Now, that was a little bit complicated because of their constitution, which had been changed to give the unions quite a lot of voting power. So it wasn't the caucus. It wasn't the other MPs didn't decide that they wanted him to be their leader. It was sort of the unions. And as a union leader, that kind of gave him a bit of an advantage, a bit of a false advantage. But he floated up to the top amongst a group of ambitious people. Some of them ambitious losers, but still ambitious people, right? So you've got to say that anyone who gets into a leadership position of a real party, i.e. not David Seymour, I'm not talking about him. Anyone who gets up to that position actually must be a little bit of an operator. You know, they must have something about them that gets them into that role. It doesn't happen by accident.
And ambition, you know, because, you don't get there without the ambition, but I don't know, it didn't translate.
Yeah. Although Jacinda has never indicated that she was interested in the leadership, and she's constantly been asked about it, and she's always had a very plausible denial, I thought.
Is that, again, is that the kind of standard, of course I have no ambition, you know, when you're asked, because any inkling of ambition is, like, immediately talked about as a spill or a coup or whatever it is.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's been opportunities when she could have expressed, significant interest and didn't.
Yeah.
Now, whether that's just because she thought, you know, people would think she was too
young and
not ready, and she didn't want to, you know, she didn't want to go too soon, or whether it was, you know, that she genuinely didn't want to go there yet. But now she has, or she doesn't really have a choice. She's kind of been thrust into it.
This young and inexperienced rubbish that's coming out, though, is just horrible. It's so...
I haven't seen much of it. How old is she?
Oh, it doesn't matter, but it's just so...
No, I'm just curious.
Dog whistly.
She's 37.
Sexist. It's like... Yes.
And she's been in for 3 terms. She's been in for 9 years. Yep. 9 yep. years. She is experienced. She is not inexperienced.
No,
and before that, she was very political because she was president of the like World Youth something or other, some sort of, you know, mini jurisdictional organization, political group. So it's like she was already always kind of quite an active person, I think. So
yeah.
So
one person's 37 years is not always equal to another's. You know, some people are children at 57. You know, but. I think
I'm fairly certain the three of us in the past have all at some point or another, probably on this podcast, said that we thought Jacinda should be the leader.
Yeah.
And that it would bring new life to Labour.
Well, we had her on. What did we say then when we had her on?
Probably that. And she probably went, oh no. But like 7 weeks out from the election.
It's hard.
It's not the best time.
It's hard. Is it a hospital pass? Does that, you know, assuming that the what seems obvious, which is that they lose the election, does this essentially end her career? Or
I don't think so. I think they'll keep her on. But I think there's actually a huge opportunity here in that the kind of to shake things up, in that the existing parties, or especially National, is like complacent and ripe for disruption, because I don't think they expect anything dramatic or difficult going into their campaign, and so they're trotting out the kind of standard approaches and the pre-baked policies and, you know, that sort of stuff. And I see it, like, we don't have a crisis like Brexit, but I see it as a little bit parallel to the British election, where it was kind of a done deal 8 weeks out,
yeah,
you know, and then suddenly it took a little bit of shaking up, a little bit of, you know, oh, I can't be bothered turning up to a debate, or I'm just going to phone this one in from the Tories. And, you know, Corbyn snuck in there. Yeah. And I could see the same thing happening.
I think, but the problem is Labour has been doing the same thing. Labour's also been doing the status quo, you know, election campaign.
Well, yeah, exactly. Now. And that's my point, is that if
Jacinda... Do they have time to change? Do they have time to turn the ship?
Well, yes. Yeah, that maybe. But if, yes. But if they...
Of course, you know, they do. Of course, yeah, they do.
But that's the only hope, is to not just run the same playbook with a different smile, but actually do something completely different.
And we'll see what that is. I'm not sure.
It's only about winning votes off National, right?
Yeah.
Because the Greens and New Zealand First are already tracking to be as big as they need to be as partners. I would personally, given my leanings, I would prefer that the Greens were about 5% bigger and that New Zealand First were about 5% smaller.
Yeah.
Or that Greens were about 15% bigger and the New Zealand First weren't there, you know.
Yeah. But if Labour can edge themselves up to closer to 30 and then Greens and the New Zealand First keep what they have, then it's a complete bloodbath.
It is.
Well, if Labour really performs...
And that's only a few percent, you know, that's only a few percent up from where they are.
If Labour performs significantly better than they were polling prior to Little's exit... then I assume that would be a win for Ardern.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing that someone pointed out, that we keep referring to the male political leaders mostly by their last names and the female political leaders by their first names, and that is overly familiar and some sort of sexist. And I think that's possibly true, but also the fact that the male political leaders are called or were called Andrew, David and John.
I've just cracked it! The billboards should say Arden Up.
Well, that's good.
I think that was already mentioned.
Was it? Oh, bugger.
Maybe.
Oh, well, forget I said anything then.
I heard it on the Spinoffs Emergency Gone by Lunchtime podcast. Sorry for the...
There's an article at the Spinoff Toby Manhoe wrote about... why the new leadership is brilliant. Why the new leadership is brilliant and why it is terrible.
all the hot takes.
It's pretty good. It's a pretty good summary, I think. I'd summarize it. I don't know. It's worth reading because it does do a pretty good job of, even though it's slightly tongue-in-cheek, of summarizing the pros and cons of of what's taken place. Or the possible pros and cons, anyway. Politics is boring. But don't forget to tune into the Discourse Live election show on election eve from 7 p.m.-ish. Oh, no, sorry, election night, not election eve. Don't tune in on election eve. That would be stupid. Yeah. Why would we do a show then?
Discourse Live audio stream.
Not what? Audio stream?
Yeah.
Well, that'd simplify things a bit.
Exactly. I'm making a lot of graphics. Please don't hurt me. I had to learn how SVG works.
Oh, no.
Because it turns out I can make all the graphics in HTML, which is fine, except I'm a bit shit at that.
Sorry, guys, I'm not talking because I'm making this billboard.
All right, can we do a Twitch? Can we do a Twitch, like a Twitch stream? And you could do your graphics over the Twitch stream?
Yeah.
Cool.
Twitch or YouTube or Facebook Live, I don't know, we'll figure it out. How hard can it be?
Easy.
We'll turn up. We'll turn up about 2 hours before the show goes live and see if we can figure out how to do it all.
Yeah. Now, that's. Do we have anything else to talk about? Because you guys didn't do show notes, and I told you we need more professionalism up in this place. And then I didn't do show notes either.
Let me see.
So what else has happened?
Yeah. Well. man, the NZ Herald website sucks, doesn't it?
Yes.
Didn't we talk about that new Herald website?
Did we? But it's still so shit.
It's really bad. It really is bad.
I don't even know where to casually look for news anymore. Like, I used to get bored sometimes and just like, oh, what's going on? And hit the NZ Herald website. And now I don't even do that because it's just so shit.
It's super lightweight.
It's hard to find anything worth reading.
Yeah.
It's like browsing Facebook. I bet Facebook's done something terrible in the last 2 weeks. Well, I can't think of anything.
This is the worst episode ever.
I don't know. We got real excited about the Jacinda Ardern thing, and then we got, you know, and then of course the Trump thing's always fantastic. And then after that, like,
there's not much else been going on.
No, there's loads of stuff going on. Should I stop making this billboard? Do you want me to actually?
About the announcement for the Falcon Heavy launch in November. I think that's going to be great. Big rockets, 27 engines. That's going to be
quite a lot.
Tricky to get all started up and into space without exploding.
Oh, you bought a new drone, Ben. You haven't talked about that.
Oh yeah, DJI Spark. It's great. I really like it. It's when I think about the amount of effort I put into building quadcopters or a quadcopter back in the day, you know, soldering the speed controllers on and programming the flight control and all that sort of stuff. It just took so long, and you know, out of that I got a couple of crappy rolling shutter juddery GoPro videos. And for like half the price, half the amount of money you can get now, the DJI Spark with a camera as good as like an iPhone 7. And a stabilized gimbal, it's phenomenal, and it fits in your pocket. It's a great little thing.
So you got big pockets.
Well, it fits in my hoodie pocket, you know.
Oh, your pouch in the kangaroo pouch.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they're beautiful. I've never flown one, but I fondled one in a PB Tech, and it's a very lovely little object.
Yeah.
Didn't you order some sort of drone online on the internet once, Morgan?
Shut up.
I feel like you pre-ordered something. Like,
shut your fucking mouth, really, Dylan Reeve. Don't bring it back up. It still hurts.
Yeah. I mean, the Spark is a bit crappy in that its connectivity is a bit jammy.
So. I can hear you laughing, motherfucker. I'm number 18,000 on the docket in their bankruptcy proceedings.
I thought they put their money in a trust.
Yep, apparently, but they also had a bunch of VC money, and so they reckon that there's enough money to pay us all back, and if the money is in a trust, then you know presumably that's right. It will just go back to whoever put it in there.
But I guess the bankruptcy lawyers are just checking all the contracts and stuff, right? Because there'll be suppliers wanting to get paid, and
that's right. Yeah. And so you know we hope that the all of those suppliers are going to be paid for out of basically the whatever VC right. money is left and not the stuff in the trust.
And but your secured creditors or whatever.
Then the lawyers are going to want to take their percentage as well, right?
Look, mate, those staff pinball machines don't come free.
You should have taken that money and put it into a just Juicero.
Yeah, right. I could have made a viral YouTube video.
I'd forgotten Juicero existed. Oh, God.
So they dropped their prices and they Juicero. Said that they need to make a new one which costs even less. But like the problem isn't even the press. The problem is that like each pouch is $12 and has like 40 cents worth of fruits and vegetables in it. And it's like, who would do that? Like just get a blender. Make it like don't have pressed juice because it's snake oil. Like it doesn't do anything for you. There's no magic in pressed juice. Just eat a piece of fruit. For fuck's sake.
But also,
and if you
like,
drink your fruit, put it in a fucking blender.
Did you see people testing them? Like, the one pouch, it doesn't even like fill a whole glass. It's like half a glass. Yeah.
And you can do it with your hands. You can
Not
squeeze it with
you
your
mentioned
hands.
The amount of, you know, like carbon that goes into creating in these plastic pouches of.
Did you see AVE's teardown of one?
It's solid.
Yeah. Like, skookum as hell. Given credit, it's amazingly well built.
Skookum chucha.
It is a skookum chucha.
What?
Have you not watched AVE videos, Ben?
No.
And okay. You call yourself a tinkerer.
You need to watch AVE videos.
AVE. I did watch a teardown that they said it was amazing, but...
No, AVE. He's a Canadian YouTube, I don't know, like... mechanical engineer or something.
Yeah. I have to have a look.
Yeah,
he's a little bit. I think there's a little bit of Kool-Aid around now. Like, I think part of it is playing the role that people expect, rather than kind of the original sort of honest himself. The original.
Oh, might be.
But But so what? Because it's still pretty funny. But you'd have to wear headphones.
Oh, this guy's. He's the one that tears down like tools and shit.
Yeah.
I've seen those.
He's pretty good.
You didn't know what a skookum chucha was.
No. Keep your dick in a vice. What's up?
Oh God, YouTube. This is as bad as my kids making references to like Minecraft YouTubers and shit that I don't understand.
Memes.
Oh, yeah. Thank you for reminding me. I better put AVE in the show notes. Okay.
Have we talked about Jake and Logan Paul before?
I every now and again I see controversy about YouTubers like Jake and Logan Paul and stuff, and then I don't want to know anything about them.
Nah, they're shits. I don't want to talk about them. They're shits.
I made the mistake of learning about Daddy O5 last week.
Oh, I'm no, hideous. I don't want to talk about that either, because he was just abusive.
I'm somewhat fascinated by like just like how fake it is. Is it all like Jake and Logan Paul and PewDiePie and the rest of them getting involved? Is it like WWE fake? Like completely and utterly... like planned out staged fake, or is it
what are we talking about? Like what's
kind of, you know, falling out with each other and making, you know, like diss videos and that sort of stuff. Is that all like planned out, or is it like children getting upset with each other and then making a bigger deal about it than
to
get views?
Probably that they know that controversy is going to drive views, and views drive money.
Yeah.
I want to see the Vlogbrothers have a falling out now. Hank and what's the other one's name? Hank and
I don't know who they are.
The Greens, Hank Green and his brother, whose name I currently forget.
So while you think about that, I've just opened up the show notes that actually do exist, Ben, for 604, and my last bullet point. This was edited before today's stuff with Jacinda, is Labour is total fucking dead meat.
John Green and Hank Green. There we go.
So you wrote that bullet point before...
I wrote that last night, I guess. Or the day before yesterday. Yeah.
Well, this is important. Was it before Andrew Little expressed no confidence in Andrew Little, or was it after that?
It was before that.
Right. Oh, very, very insightful.
Well, you know, we're going to do an election show, and there's no sense being artificially optimistic like we were last time. Although now, Dylan, you don't seem to give a shit, but Ben and I now will be
I give a
falsely
shit.
Optimistic, I think. I mean, because they still are. I mean, they have to be dead meat, right? They have to be.
Yeah, the whole thing's dead meat. Because, you know, again, I'll maintain my position that the Greens turn out at about minus 3% of their polling, right. 3 to 4%. And so, yeah, there's just no chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the argument behind that is always that they don't turn out the youth vote that they supposedly should.
Yeah.
Maybe something changes. I don't know what it is you make. I don't know what you do to make young people actually vote, though.
No. You can't force them.
You could try.
Yeah. I feel like, so this whole, I don't really want to go into this whole thing with Materia's confessing to her little bit of benefit fraud again.
Didn't we talk about this already?
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit, but I don't know if I was even audible on there. I think it was last time. And she's since said, or, you know, someone from the Greens has said that that you should be able to, I'm not going to look up the quote because this is discourse, that you should be able to live well on the benefit, and you should be able to have fun, and you should be financially secure. And I actually disagree. I think that you should be able to live, you should be able to eat fine. You should not need to. You shouldn't feel like you're insecure in your housing, and you shouldn't feel like there's any risk that your kids are going to go hungry. And just because of the way that our system works, you shouldn't need to worry about your healthcare or your kids' education. But I don't actually think you should feel financially secure when you're on the benefit. I think it should be a real baseline, which maybe means it needs to be more than it currently is. I don't know. But I don't think that it should be a party. I don't think you should be able to be a pack-a-day smoker or have a couple of bottles of wine or whatever when you're on the benefit. I think it should be while you're on the way to your next job or while you're taking care of young kids until they're at school. And then, again, you're on your way to your next
Those
job.
Are two very different things, though.
And that's making an assumption that there are enough jobs for everyone. Which is also a tricky thing to assert. So, like, you know, I don't know enough about economics and you know, macroeconomics to know if there are enough jobs for everyone, but there's certainly enough money for everyone.
Yep.
So, yeah. You know, it starts to raise that question of universal basic income to say, well, let's take the stigma away and say, actually, yeah, you do get a bones of your ass, enough to, you know, live on healthy fruit and veg and meat from Pack and Save.
Yeah.
And, you know, rent a decent place to live.
Yeah.
And there's no kind of, what do you call it? You don't have to beg for that. You don't have to kind of dance for it and, you know, try and find
But you also don't necessarily, you shouldn't, for it. You shouldn't necessarily have to feel guilty if, I don't know. I don't think you should have to feel good if you want to go out and watch a movie once in a while. Or, you know, like...
No, yeah.
I don't... But, I mean, I don't think any of us have also had the experience of actually dealing with that. Except maybe, you know, a little bit of student allowance time or something. But I don't think... Like, certainly none of us have tried to raise a family on a welfare payment.
Certainly wouldn't be DJI Sparks and podcasting.
Certainly hope not. We can agree that a camera drone is beyond the scope of what should be available to someone
above the poverty line. Yeah,
someone receiving a benefit.
And you mentioned something. You should be able to afford a decent rental. All rentals should be decent. You know what I mean? Like there shouldn't be rentals which are rotten, mouldy, in a garage or whatever. There should be ample housing, so you don't actually need to worry about that. Just like you don't really need to worry about your kid being able to even get into a school or being able to afford the fees of a school, because, you know, the question of whether you can get your kid well nourished and dressed and there, that's different. But the question of whether you can afford to have them in a school, that's sort of resolved, I think, for the most part in New Zealand, even for people living in really crushing poverty. Yeah. And I think that schools should provide meals to all students.
Oh God, I wish that was the case.
Absolutely all students. There should just be no question. And if you want to get a pie, you can get a pie, but there will be food will be provided for absolutely all, not just for the pause, for everyone.
Even if it was a basic cost, you know, even if it was a simple, like it was available to everyone and it was a very simple.
Yeah.
That basic cost should be met through the tax base.
Well, I'm happy if it's a basic cost that those who can pay do, and those who can't, it's just covered by, you know, by, because I will pay. I don't need anyone else to pay. But I want everyone else to. I want everyone to be able to have it.
But the thing that worries me about it even being, you know, a question of it sometimes being charged is that some schools are really aggressive even with the donations, right?
No, but it doesn't like, yeah, it just has so not come out of.
The way that you would pay is by paying a fair level of tax,
I guess.
And then you just don't need to even ask the question of the parents. And, you know, maybe bloody stationery should be, basic stationery should be provided as well. Because if there is the standard set of pens and pencils and this kind of ruled book and this kind of squared book, just fucking provide them. Mm. And if there's exercise books required for science, you remember some of the silly books that we had to buy?
But that's kind of...
Some of the $150 books that you used for one term, and then it was like... And you used like three chapters out of the thing, and then it was like, why the fuck have I got this $150 book still? Why did you require that I buy this $150 book, you fucking shits?
But you're like, you're effectively making the same argument that I am for, you know, for universal benefits, and that we require people to do these things anyway. We require people to, you know, to buy these things or pay their way. And so why not just, you know, and instead of rolling it up and saying this is part and parcel, you know, put it on your taxes, we end up with a thing where some kids don't have it. Some kids don't have their stationery pack, and so they get that stigma.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not just I can't afford it. It's actually I can't afford it, and my friends make fun of me.
Yeah.
So a similar thing with the dole is that not only can I not find a job, is that I then have to go and, you know, pee in a cup and prove I'm a lesser person to get my dole.
Yeah.
One of the points that's often made in favour of a universal basic income is that also because it's not means tested or you know not based yep. around your lack of income, is that it actually encourages people better to seek work.
Yeah.
Mm.
Because you don't end up in the situation where you're in a strange scenario where you might get work, but then suddenly you actually end up earning less or something like that. You know, by getting work, you are no longer eligible for one part of a benefit that you received that means you end up worse off.
Oh, yeah, like when you hit $80 earnings, you lose like $100 out of your benefit, that kind of thing, right?
Yeah, that sort of situation. Yeah. Or when you earn a certain amount of money, you are no longer eligible to apply for a certain type of assistance, even if you can get some other types, that sort of thing. If you have a basic income and you know you can earn on top of that, then you know, you're more likely to start taking steps into employment.
Yeah. And we already do have a universal basic income. Well, not quite universal. We have a universal basic income for everyone who makes it to the age of 65.
Yes.
So it already exists. And you don't have to have paid a cent of tax in your entire life.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? I was going to say, but that doesn't count because you pay into superannuation, nope. But you don't have to.
No, you don't. It's not KiwiSaver.
No.
So like Muldoon had some sort of savings account, right? KiwiSave or something. What was it called? Mm. It wasn't KiwiSave. What was it? It was some kind of thing like that where you paid into it. But that's not what we've got now.
Yeah. No, you just get
And money. It is a universal.
Yeah. Everyone. Again, it's because getting old is a thing you become, not a you know, stigma or anything like that, whereas getting poor is your fault.
Being born is not your fault.
Yeah, but apparently being poor is your fault,
yeah.
Which is just not the case.
Well, yeah, like it's one of those things where it's like it's intuitive that you can improve your situation, but many of the people who improved their situations, they worked really hard, but there is always a one lucky meeting.
There's lucky right? meetings. There's opportunities that you have that other people don't, you know, like it's incredibly easy to say, just go out and get a job. But, you know, everyone has 100 million circumstances that make their position unique.
Yeah. And to a lot of people, that just sounds like excuses, right?
Yeah.
But actually, it's reasons, not excuses.
You know, but it's all on degrees. There was actually an interesting conversation on a Slack group I was on today, sort of saying, you know, who's got a career plan? Like, you know, who has a 5-year career plan? And how do you get to where you are? And I was responding, like, I have no idea how I got to where I got to. It's kind of like a series of unfortunate events.
I thought that you had a Vaughan Rosell helped.
Yeah. Well, that helped. But, like, absolutely, there's, you know, like, a privilege and, you know, all that stuff in my background, for sure. But then, in terms of career path, I just never made any conscious decisions along the way. And I think that's a micro example of exactly how I could, you know, go the opposite way and end up on the breadline.
Yeah,
I have the same situation in that where I've ended up is kind of by accident.
Mm.
But it's pretty great for you. Oh, sure. But I get to the point now where I'm like, well, I'd actually like to sort of plan a few years in the future.
Yeah.
And I don't know how.
Right.
What's your next step? You don't know what your next step is when you have no idea how you took your last step.
Where I've taken a step into positions that are sort of niche enough that there really isn't anywhere else to step without either going backwards or taking a big sort of lateral leap that isn't obvious.
Be a cold fusion developer that doesn't even want to be a developer, man. Try that.
Are you still programming cold fusion?
Yep.
Fuck.
Yeah, it's still around.
And I don't want to be programming in anything. Like, I don't want to be programming. I also do DBA stuff and I do all sorts of stuff. It's a pretty varied role, which is like, you know,
Who the fuck owns Cold Fusion now?
People with lots of money. It's pretty expensive to operate.
No, I mean the
Adobe
product, like
Adobe.
Adobe, really? Still?
It's expensive.
Wow.
To run it. Cold Fusion's pretty good, but I don't want to be programming anything. I don't want to be a programmer. But you know, when you've got, you know, children, dependents, and so on, you know, it's like, do I want to do something more right now? Maybe when the boy's older, I don't know. So I kind of dabble with other little ideas of, you know, whatever. We all have our little ideas, right? Our little ideas of little.
And you do those ones in Fortran, little, right?
Fortress, bro. Fortress is it's really modern, very secure Fortran. But you'll get the punch cards from my cold dead hands, I tell you what. I don't think I'd quit that place unless I'd built a new thing, and building a new thing when you've got young kids is pretty hard.
What's that thing? It's also, you know, to make a step, this is the other thing about, you know, making your own way in the world, is to make a step from one place to another, you need to have a safety net.
Yeah. Yep.
And unless you've managed to build one for yourself, which is great if you've got a big savings and you can go, okay, now I can take a chance on not earning a solid income for 3 months while I create this other thing for myself. But otherwise, yeah, you have to sort of somehow make it happen at the same time.
Yeah. But you still want to play with your kids? Well, I want to play with my kid. You maybe don't, I don't know.
No, they scream and they're really annoying. They're constantly bickering, fight over the TV remote like Jesus. Oh, and they cheat. Play Candyland with them and they pick up two cards at once and look at them both and then, oops, I picked up two and put one back.
Doesn't that make you proud?
That fucking ice cream lady.
You should be proud.
Don't play Candyland. Candyland's the worst.
I don't play Candyland. I don't play any card games with them. I play...
You need to play Candyland.
I be Bad Wolf and I be Friendly T-Rex and I be Ghost and we play Hide and Seek. It's pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose it's all right.
Are you recording, by the way?
Couldn't you just send him to boarding school? When can you do that?
Why would I want to do that?
I don't know.
Why would I send him to boarding school?
I need to see him in the holidays then.
He's the best kid. He's the best kid I've ever had. He's the best thing I've ever done. Why would I want him to be gone?
That is probably true.
And your kids, bro, as much as you despise them, are the best things that you've ever done as well. And you'll discover that. In,
two of them might be.
Right. Right, sure. And then
I made Tickled.
And it's still, at best, your fourth best thing.
Maybe it might be third. It might be better than one of the kids.
Maybe fifth. I think it's not that. It's not that good. It was really overrated, Dylan.
Oh, dude. Are we talking about my kids? Which one?
Were your kids nominated for the awards and didn't get any? Well, I don't remember.
All right. Yeah, fair enough. No, my kids haven't been nominated for any.
Yeah, as long as you're hard on your kids, I'm going to be hard on everything else that you do. Okay.
Oh man.
Until you acknowledge that your kids are awesome.
Two of them are okay.
All right, maybe Tickled is your third best thing. I don't know.
Yeah, there we go.
Your next movie, though, it's going to be really good.
I don't think it's going to surpass the first two kids.
Now you're talking.
I'm not specifically saying the first two chronologically, by the way.
I thought your favourites were 1 and 3.
I'm not saying.
You can't pick favourites.
Of course you can.
I can. I just won't disclose them.
You know that I would.
I've got a favourite girl and a favourite boy, so it's easy.
And also a favourite. Overall.
Right. Is that news?
Are we going to try and watch SpaceX with Space Club, the heavy launch?
Yeah, I think we should. It's a big deal. It's like the heaviest thing since Saturn V, right? Going into space. And if they can land all three bits of it, that'd be phenomenal.
That would be amazing. I tell you what, when they have launches and it turns out they're not trying to land, like when you see it on
so disappointing.
You see that there's no grid fins and it's just like, and there's no landing gear. And it's like, I might just not watch this one.
Yeah. That one that I had recently, the one a couple of times ago when they landed back at, what's the West Coast base?
The one on the right on the coast there.
Yeah.
Oh, what's it called? It was just beautiful.
But that one that came down through the layer of cloud and landed, it was just 100% sci-fi. Yeah. It was.
Why do they not land some of them? Excuse my ignorance.
It depends on how much fuel they need to burn, I think, to get into the right orbit. So if they need to burn all their fuel to get into orbit, then they haven't got any to slow it back down again.
Yeah. If they need to get it really high and or really fast, I guess those are the same thing.
Or really heavy, yeah.
Or really heavy, yeah. Then even though they have this very clever thing where they send out the autonomous barge to be kind of roughly where, you know, it's not like they have to stop and come back to where they launched from. Although sometimes they do that,
but they do that when they're going into a low orbit. Yeah, yeah. Like all the ones to the space station, they just drive it straight back again because the space station's only barely in orbit.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? All that stuff is incredible.
Actually, Vsauce did a video about the scale of the Earth the other day.
Yeah,
it's yeah.
And how thin the atmosphere is.
How thin the atmosphere is, and where the space station is relative to the surface.
Well, because when you think about it, like the space station is what is 150 kilometers orbit.
Yeah, something like he's got a globe in front of him. It's like if you scale if this was the Earth, where do you think the space station is? Like here. It's like 2.3 millimeters off the surface or something ridiculous like that.
But you think, that blew my mind because you think, you know, if you were to, you know, like I say, drive to Hamilton, but then just drive that amount vertically, you're in orbit, which is nuts.
That's so simple enough.
So I think, isn't it true that they're in free fall because they're moving sideways so fast, but
actually
the gravity at the ISS is about 90% what it is on the surface? Or 80%?
Something like that. Microgravity, yeah.
But it's 80% of the same as on the surface. That's not micro.
Well, it's because it's an extended version of the parabolic arcs that the planes take to give you low G.
Yeah, it's in free fall.
Yeah.
So it's like the Douglas Adams thing where they're throwing themselves at the Earth and missing.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Hmm. Oh, I hadn't thought about that for a long time. Thank you, Dylan. I'll think about Hitchhiker's Guide for a little while now.
Excellent.
So are we still... So, yeah, I think he just said November, but he didn't necessarily say a day. But no. That'll be about Windows, and there'll be possible weather stuff. But
yeah, they'll have to do a test firing, a
convenient launch,
static fires and stuff. They haven't even static fired all three together yet, have they? So yeah.
If there's a convenient launch time, I think that we should try and make something of it. I think that'd be very fun. Not that our listeners give a shit. Hello, people in Christchurch and Wellington. You're not invited. Just talking about a private party. Wasting your time, frankly.
Cool.
They can be invited. They just have to make their way, right? Don't be that exclusive. Exclusive.
And they can watch on their phone, in their car, on the street.
In Auckland traffic.
Oh yeah, so the Discourse election show, you have a studio location for us, Dylan.
I have a studio.
And it sounds like you have cameras.
I have some cameras.
And
I have some vision
studio.
Vision mixing equipment.
Do we have how are we gonna stream it? Because like Facebook's probably where audience is, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Facebook. I mean, my inclination is if it's not too difficult to put it on a few places, you know, do YouTube and Facebook Live.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe Twitch or something, but probably not Twitch. But yeah, at least YouTube and Facebook Live, if it's not too difficult to do both at once.
If there's someone listening who knows lots about doing stuff on Facebook, can you just hit us up on Twitter?
Yeah, well, specifically, we're going to be using a TriCaster.
Oh, yeah.
From NewTek. Will be the vision mixing tool. And we want to stream from that to at least YouTube and Facebook. And then after that, who knows? The world is our oyster.
There must be a multiplexing thing around, surely, that you just stream it to one place and then it streams to...
Maybe. Do we want to trust
Twitch,
a third
Twitch
service?
And YouTube and all that sort of stuff. But it seems weird that there's not.
I think the software will just support multiple outputs.
Surely, I'm sure it does. I'm sure there's some way to do it. Also, if you're very smart about, you know, things like electoral statistics and data modeling and... also having to know HTML and would like to help me make some graphics, shout out, because so far I've figured out how to do baseline keys and maps and basic electorate results, but all the rest of it is just too hard. I spent a little while trying to learn about D3JS, which is what you use for topographical stuff and lot of data modeling, and it hurt my brain and I stopped. I don't have room in my brain.
Well done, though. Sounds great.
Like, I was looking at... Because, you know, if you look at an electoral map of New Zealand, like a, you know, an actual topographical map, and just break it up into electorates and colour the electorates appropriately, it's just a big sea of blue, because all the really big ones are blue. And all the little ones, which aren't blue, are little, and you don't see them. So...
Tricky. Do you need to, what?
People are talking about hexagonal mapping.
Yeah,
making
scale according to
well, no, representative kind of representative maps and stuff like that, but it just hurts my brain too much.
Oh yeah, the Brexit maps and so on, and the recent election, general election.
Yeah, they're really well done.
They were hexagonal, weren't they? And that really did work. It is a very nice way to do it.
Yeah, there's lots of ways to approach it. I mean, some like I was looking at some of the stuff that people were doing last election. Like some of the media organizations with actual budgets, you know, doing things that also like merge the census information with electorate boundaries, so you can look at an electorate and see what the, you know, what the makeup of that electorate is.
Right.
Historical results for that electorate, which is difficult because our electorates keep changing, although they didn't change from last election. Things like that. But all of that is way too hard for me. I don't have time or knowledge to do it. If someone does and is interested in making graphics for our highly professional election broadcast, then hit me up. Otherwise, you'll just get whatever the fuck I can figure out between now and then.
You will be paid in beer.
I don't drink beer.
No,
well, that's too bad, then you won't be paid.
Yeah, this was what I figured. Hopefully there'll be cupcakes at least.
Oh yeah, you can have as much. Oh, are there?
Well, I don't know, I haven't heard back.
It'd be great if Delish were back. Good old Delish cupcakes. Although if we didn't get a cupcake parliament, I think I'd still probably give Delish a shout out just because it was so great having their support the last two times.
Well, even if they can't give us cupcakes, we'll still have a cupcake parliament somehow, even if I'm up all night making cupcakes.
Oh my gosh, making that much icing. Oh,
Making icing's easy. It's just...
It doesn't actually even have to be good. It just has to be the right colours, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of how fucked iTunes was, which apparently we were, because just like Ben, I'm really good at segues now, iTunes is working again.
Holy shit, how did you manage that?
I sent them an email. All their automated system was an absolute nightmare, but sending them an email, I got replies from several very friendly people, and they sorted it out pretty fast.
Well,
nice. Wow.
Yeah, I kind of regret saying rude things about Apple on Twitter now.
No, you can say rude things about Apple on Twitter because their automated system didn't work in the first place.
And they should pay some fucking tax. I just remembered, actually. I don't regret saying rude things about them, but just for different reasons. Pay some fucking tax.
Yeah, and that's also why I don't eat Sanitarium products, just as a reminder. I went to the food show on the weekend. Of course, I went on Saturday, so none of the Sanitarium products were there. But I don't eat Sanitarium products because... I eat Pam's Wheat Biscuits.
Are they the same?
Well, they might be made by Sanitarium, but they're not branded as Sanitarium, and at least...
But are they the same? Like, or are they more or less the same?
They're a little bit flakier, actually, than the Wheat Bix. They're not as tightly packed.
Right. They're not the same. Is it? Do you prefer that, or do you just like not having the charity, the church, religious, no tax thing? Do you just like...
I don't like giving my money to a company that then doesn't pay tax.
Right. Right. Well, fair enough.
For the most part. I mean, obviously, I give money to Google.
I guess I don't really think... I don't really think about Sanitarium very much when I buy my big box of Weet-Bix, but maybe I should. Maybe we all should. That's something to think about for the next... week or 2 weeks. I've been thinking about maybe we could all start talking to we could start doing interviews, like we could all alternate doing interviews on our off week so that we actually don't have off weeks anymore, and we could just post an interview with one of us talking to someone interesting. Is that worth doing, or would it just end up being me? All right, well, it might just end up being me, so that's honestly, it's not going
to
happen.
Good luck to you.
Cheers. I'll have Jacinda Ardern on next time for the 3-hour epic, because I'm sure she's got loads of time to talk to a podcast with like 3 listeners, or if we even have that left, after all the trouble that we've had with the feed and the iTunes and all that stuff. Oh, actually, if you are still a listener, look, I know that this it sucks to ask. But could
please rate us on iTunes.
And
it's not iTunes anymore. It's called Apple Podcasts now.
Okay. On Apple Podcasts, please, if you're going to rate us 5 stars, please rate us. If you're going to rate us less than 5 stars, please don't rate us. And a review would be fine, but the review that's on there right now, I really enjoy it. It talks about how we're the best podcast if you are interested in discussions of politics and polonies. And it was from 2011. That's how long we've been doing this off and on.
For a while.
Polonies, Cheerios,
little boys.
Yeah, I had a really good one at the food show. There was this a French sausage making company. I don't know what they're called, but I know Foodbox sells their sausages, and they had a really good polony, a Cheerio, a cocktail sausage, really good cocktail sausage.
Yeah,
like nice. A genuine, actual meaty flavor.
I expect polonies on Saturday night, Dylan. So yeah.
Okay, sure.
Perfect.
Were they called like Cheval Sausage Company or something?
No, it was more Frenchy than that.
Was it called? If it was more Frenchy, then was it called something like Saucisse de Cheval?
Yes, that's exactly it. You're making fun of me. I don't understand it. It's very disappointing.
Chien et cheval.
Are you just using French words for sausage? Is that what's happening here?
Well, no, that's not the problem.
I'm going to tell you now, though. The sausage company is called L'Authentic.
Oh, they're good. They do a good fennel pork sausage meat.
Yep, really we good. Had some great sausages.
I had to put on pizza.
All the sausages of theirs that I tried were fantastic.
Yeah. Dylan was making a joke. Look up, yeah. What? Check Cheval and translate it from French.
Oh, I can't be bothered.
Yeah, don't then. Don't.
Horse. It's horse. Yes, right, okay.
Of course it's horse. Don't worry. Hey, look, it's fine to eat horse. I would eat a, I wouldn't eat a whole horse, but I would eat some of a horse. For sure I'd eat some of a horse.
to the best of my knowledge, their sausages did not contain horse.
Who's eaten something really interesting? Has anyone eaten something really interesting? Like, we've all probably had, like, rabbit and kangaroo and that sort of easy stuff. But have you had, like, bear or something?
No, not the most aggressively freaky tasting thing I've ever had is Roquefort ice cream.
Okay.
So, like, really pungent blue cheese ice cream, which was just freaky because, you know, you put ice cream on your palate and it kind of melts and becomes more of itself, more flavoursome, and so it just really hit you with an amazing flavour. But that wasn't particularly adventurous.
The most unusual thing I tried in the States once was snake.
Oh yeah.
I don't know what sort of snake.
Yeah.
And it was in quite a strong sauce, so it didn't taste of much. But you know, it was like I didn't go back for more. It was like at a nibble at a cocktail party I went to.
Yeah.
It's like a snake something. And also, I mean, snails. I've had snails, which were just, as far as I could tell, a bland delivery system for garlic butter.
I think I must have had bad snails.
They reminded me of squid or something like that. You're quite sort of a little bit of a chew and a bite, and then...
Not a lot of flavour except for the garlic butter.
Yeah.
I wish that my snails hadn't had much flavour, and I wish that they'd just tasted of garlic. It was just a random cafe on a Parisian street, and I was like, oh, there's snails. I'll just check that one off the list. And I was like, this snail fucking sucks.
All right, I'm going to go extreme now.
Yep.
I had lunch at it's the depot, isn't it? It's the one on Federal Street.
Yep.
Yep.
With Stephen Fry.
Yep.
And they brought us everything.
Wonderful.
And
show.
I had some fantastic, which isn't particularly exotic, but bone marrow, which was really good. Yeah. And
bone marrow is very, different, very unctuous.
All the different raw shellfish.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, it's all.
Stephen Fry doesn't like coriander.
It's all New Zealand shellfish, though. That's not,
yeah.
You know, that's not really. Have you had possum?
No.
It's a lot of stuff. I mean, of course, everyone's had goat.
Yeah, goat. Oh, such good curry.
Like, what is, like, not way out of line? Like, would you eat whale? I would try whale.
Yeah, I would try it, yeah.
Yeah, probably not.
What would you... I wouldn't eat monkey.
No, it seems a bit... there's a whole bunch of... I'm not really into offal at all, though. So, I mean, I don't even want to eat kidneys.
Oh, yeah, but you'd have the right kind of pate, right? Surely. You'd have sausages that were made with, like, intestines.
Yeah. I just, not on its. I don't even a steak and kidney pie. I'm just like, no.
Mince and cheese. I'm sorry. I know it's middle of the road. I don't think I want to eat brains very much. I'm sorry. I don't know why I brought this up. How did we start on this? It was probably my fault. No.
I don't know.
Cocktails are just polonies. It's the review.
Oh, right.
Oh, yeah.
Head cheese. I haven't tried head cheese.
Oh, yeah, no. Yeah.
I don't know why they call it head cheese.
Or lights. I'm Morgan Avery.
Yeah, Ben, thanks.
Yep, that's Dylan. That's me.
See you next time.
All right, so it's going to be very easy to edit this one. Wow, man, the whole...
You're going to hit that stop button, Dylan, until we get the downloads happening?
I'll hit the stop button.
Yep. Yeah.
On the recording.
The red one.
Because we're finished?
Because we're finished recording now, right?
Okay.
Fish and chips. Fish and chips.
This show is cancelled. Beep.